Hey, man. Well, it's great to be with you all here together tonight as Mark welcomed us all. I am excited for these equipping nights and kind of trying to figure out how we could use these Wednesday nights on Zoom together to really grow and be intentional and make the most of it. And I'm so grateful for all of your hearts to want to be equipped and to be here focused and ready to learn and learn how to be used by God more effectively. So I'm going to share my screen here real quick. Let me find the right, I think this is it. There we go. All right, let me play this. All right, great. Is that good? Equipping night, it's right there. Awesome. So this is our first equipping night. So it's going to be a little bit of an introduction. Mark said I was probably going to use this verse, Ephesians 4, verse 12. The role in the context here is talking about the role of leadership in the church. And it said that leaders are given to the church to not do all the work, but to equip his people for works of ministry. And so I think we even mess this up a little bit by referring to people on staff as in the ministry. And that's kind of just like our rhetoric. But the truth is, in the Bible, every Christian is in the ministry. You're in the campus ministry or whatever ministry you're in. A ministry is a place of service. That's what that word in the Greek means, is it's a place of serving with the gospel and serving the gospel and being people doing Jesus's work. And so the role of leaders is to equip everybody, every disciple for works of ministry, that every disciple is equipped with understanding the heart and how-tos of doing the work of building the church and building up and doing ministry. I like in 2 Corinthians 5, it refers to it as the ministry of reconciliation, that all of us are in the ministry of reconciliation. That every person on this call, as a follower of Jesus, to know, hey, I'm in the ministry of bringing people back to God and helping to serve God's people. And so that's why I'm glad that you're here and that your heart is to be equipped. And there's a lot of topics that we could be equipped on. I think some obvious ones are obviously the mission, helping reconcile people to God, but also equipped in other ways to serve, to use gifts, and to glorify God. We're going to be starting with that first concept of, hey, how can I be equipped for helping people become Christians? But then on these Wednesday nights, I think we can, move over to start covering some other topics as well as we get through that. And so tonight we're going to be talking about and starting this idea of being equipped at seeking and saving the lost. And I do believe that every person on this call wants to be used by God to help someone else go from the dark to the light, from not with God to right with God, from where they're at in life now to where God wants them to be, both here and then for eternity to spend with God rather than separated from Him. So I want to look at one main story tonight, and it's one of my favorite stories in the book of Luke, which we'll get to eventually in our series. But Luke 19, verse 1 to 10, is the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. And this story really shows the impact of the mission and Jesus's heart and activity towards the mission. And so listen to this story, Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Those two things tell you that people did not like him. He was a chief tax collector, like the IRS, and he was wealthy. So, kind of keynotes there, somebody who people don't like. He wanted to see who Jesus was. That also tells us something about him, something good. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And here we kind of see Zacchaeus' repentance, that he wanted to change. And, clearly Jesus spending the time with him that he did in his house, teaching Zacchaeus whatever he did, led Zacchaeus to this heart of repentance. And then in verse 10, in verse 9, Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And I have those two verses highlighted a little bit more right here. And I want to just focus on this last part, but I hope that you saw from the story that Jesus was a seeker of seekers. He was somebody who was seeking people who were seeking God. He entered this new town, and who did his attention go to? Right? He saw this guy, Zacchaeus, who everybody else overlooked, everybody else wouldn't have liked, mumbled about. And he saw that, hey, this guy went out of his way, climbed a tree just to get a look at me. And he said, I'm going to go spend time with this guy. I'm going to get to know this guy better. I'm going to let this guy get to know me better. I'm going to go in his home, spend time with him, teach him, help him become a disciple. Because God, Jesus could see that he was a seeker. And then Jesus said, Today salvation has come to your house, because you too, this man too, is a son of Abraham, meaning one of God's people, one of God's children. And then in verse 10, he said, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came. What did he come to do? What was he here for? He said, Jesus himself said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was a seeker of seekers, somebody looking for people who wanted to find him and be saved. And ultimately, none of us can save anyone. Jesus is the Savior. But Jesus invites us onto this mission with him. In Matthew 28, he gives us the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. And so this purpose Jesus had, this mission of saving the lost, he invites us into that work, that ministry of reconciliation. And I really do strongly believe that there is nothing like getting to be part of someone else being saved. That experience in my life of either sharing my faith with someone, or hopping in a Bible study, or helping teach someone, or whatever it is, getting to be involved with somebody else, having their life and eternity totally turned around, seeing them forgiven of their sin and then grow in the Lord, there is nothing like the work that God invites us into with him. And it is an honor and a joy and a privilege that Jesus invites us into this work of seeking and saving the lost with him. When you answered the call to be a disciple, you also answer the call to be a disciple maker. A disciple makes disciples. In Mark 1, Jesus said, Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So following Jesus means we should be becoming fishers of men, people who are trying to help other people become disciples as well. And so I don't want to jump in any practicals here without first just one showing you that this is who Jesus was. This is who followers of Jesus are to be. And really just giving you a moment to really understand the heart behind it. We're not trying to just be like any other company that's trying to increase its sales or have more members or, you know, grow in number or whatever. The heart is that we really believe that every person we see, walk by, every person, just like Zacchaeus, this man, this woman too, is a son or daughter of Abraham, meaning one of God's people. One of God's children, somebody who God created, but also somebody who needs salvation, just like Zacchaeus was a sinner, that every person, just like you, just like me, has sin that has separated themselves from God. And if they're not forgiven of it, will forever be separated from God, will face the wrath of God. And so we have to believe that sharing the salvation we have with others is incredibly important. And that's the heart behind the mission, is bringing Jesus to somebody else, helping somebody else connect with the reason they were created, who created them, who died for them, who loves them more than anybody else, how to live better, how to live the way they were created to live. Now, obviously, disciples don't have perfect lives, but we have God. We have the Word of God. We have our community. And then after this life, we have heaven. And so the heart of the mission is what we see here. It's Jesus's heart. It's wanting to bring salvation, to help people be brought into the family of God, to seek and save people who are lost. So, you know, that's the heart behind the mission. And I find that if I have a hard time with the mission, it's because I'm disconnected from the heart behind it. And so before we get into any more practicals, I just want to ask tonight, how is your heart towards the lost? How is your heart towards the mission? Is it reluctant? Is it begrudging? Is it, you know, rebellious? Is it, what is it? And I want to encourage you to try to figure that out, because I know you love God. I know you love Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, we see that this was his heart. And it is such a special thing for us to get to be involved with. So this is our calling, and this should be our heart. And so I just want to speak for a little bit about, okay, so how do we do this? And there's no way that I can thoroughly tonight cover how to be on the mission. There are so many ways that we can contribute towards helping someone become a Christian. But I want to talk about one major unavoidable way of helping people become Christians, and that's teaching the Bible to someone. There's no way to become a Christian without the Bible. And God's plan is that we teach each other the scriptures, that people teach the word of God to each other. And so that's kind of what we're going to be focused on equipping you with for the first series of these equipping nights, is how to study the Bible with someone. Teaching the Bible to somebody is how we help them become a disciple, how we help seek and save the lost. In the Bible is where they will learn the truth, where they will learn who God is. It is the word of God. Like, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is powerful. It's divine. It's supernatural. We don't have the power to change people. Our words can't do it, but God's words can. God's words changes people's hearts. And so studying the Bible with somebody is how we help someone become a Christian. 2 Timothy 3:15 says that the Holy Scriptures, meaning that these words are different than everything else. They're not like a book written by people. They're holy. They're set apart. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. So if you want to know how to do chemistry, get a chemistry textbook. If you want to know how to work on a car, get a mechanic textbook. If you want to know how to be saved, go to the Scriptures. The Scriptures make you wise for salvation. So if we want to teach salvation to someone, then we've got to use the Scriptures, teach them the Scriptures. There's this one segment in Hebrews 5:12 to 6:2 that I'll read here. And this calls us all as Christians that eventually we should become teachers of the word, somebody who could teach somebody else. And then it talks about how there's certain topics that are considered elementary or basic. So listen to this here. Hebrews 5:12, it says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. So this is talking to an audience who probably had been Christians for a while and should have been a lot stronger, and even not just strong themselves, but teaching other people the word of God. But they were not as mature as spiritual as they should be, and so they needed the basics taught to them all over again. I don't think that's this group of people. Most of us on this call have not been Christians that long to begin with yet, but these verses teach a principle that the expectation should be that eventually you do learn how to teach the Bible to other people, that teaching the Scriptures is something we should all strive to get at. In verse 13, it says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, what up, Jace, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, just like this verse implies, all of us should strive to a maturity where, hey, I can teach other people the Bible. And it talks about milk. It talks about elementary truths. Other translations use the word basic. And so there's this idea in the Bible of some teachings are basic, are foundational, are elementary truths of God's word. And when he says here, you need somebody to teach you these elementary truths all over again, it implies that they were taught elementary things a first time to begin with, right? And so when we think about teaching people the Bible, a great place to start is with elementary things, the foundational things, the basic things. Those are the things that help someone become a Christian and learn what they need to know to become a Christian. Obviously, there's stuff we learn the rest of our life, but what are the basic things? And in this passage, it lists out some of them. I don't think this is an exhaustive list, but it's some examples. He said, here's some of the elementary teachings about Christ. Repentance from sin, faith, baptism, laying on of hands, which was how the apostles imparted miraculous gifts on people. Eternal life, judgment, right? What we're trying to help save people and prepare people for. These are a handful of elementary teachings. When I look at this scripture, and then there's a couple others in the New Testament. Here's one example. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul is training Timothy, and he says, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And, you know, there's other verses that use this word pattern. But I like that idea because basically Paul is saying, hey, you learned a pattern of sound teaching from me and keep that pattern. And so Paul was planting churches, traveling from city to city to city, planting churches, making disciples. You'd imagine that if there's these elementary truths and he's having to continue to teach the same stuff over and over again in city to city, that there would develop kind of like a pattern of teaching or a methodical way to impart those basic and elementary truths. And so that's something that we've worked on as a church is having a Bible study series, a first principles Bible study series, or you could call it a basics Bible studies or, you know, foundational or elementary teachings, whatever it is. But for us to have a pattern of teaching to really help give us a framework to help lay the foundation of faith for people and help people become disciples. You know, the Bible is a big book. The New Testament is long. And so to have a tool like a Bible study series can help train, just like it talked about in these verses, who have trained themselves in the Word of God. Having a set Bible study series could help us have a pattern of teaching these basic things that makes it easier to train each other how to teach other people those basic things. And so here's some of the topics that we try to cover with somebody we're helping become a disciple, these milk, elementary truths, basic teachings. What is our purpose? Seeking God. What is the Word of God all about? Who is Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus, to be a disciple? What is sin all about? What does sin do that separates us? What is the cross all about? What did Jesus do for us to save us on the cross? And then responding to the cross. Well, Acts 2, right? Repent. What does it mean to repent? How do we repent? What do I need to repent of? Being baptized. What is baptism? What does the Bible teach on baptism? Why should I get baptized? When should I get baptized? Why do I get baptized? Teaching on baptism. Hebrews 6 mentioned it. The church, Jesus's church. What is it? What does it mean to be part of it? What's expected of me in it? What's my role in it? The church is an elementary part of Christianity. Sound versus false doctrine. You know, there's things that are taught wrong in the world of Christianity, and it's important to make sure we understand what's right and what's wrong, especially on salvation issues. And then when somebody's thinking they're ready to become a disciple, having some time to count the cost just to make sure they really are ready to make Jesus Lord. Just like in Luke 14, Jesus said to count the cost before becoming a disciple. And so, you know, we have this pattern of teaching, these basic elementary things, a study series, so that if you meet somebody who wants to study the Bible, you don't have to kind of go like, I don't know what to show them, but we can train you and equip you, and here's what you can teach them. And this is something we can work on together. And so our plan every other Wednesday is to teach you how to lead these Bible studies. And also, while we're at it, it's a great time for you to reaffirm your convictions on these different things and to build your faith in these areas a little bit deeper as well. I do want to make a point that the study series is a tool. People made it. The scriptures, people did not make. And it's supposed to be a study series focused on the scriptures. This is just a tool to help guide you so you have some direction. But the study series do not have power. It's the scriptures that have the power. And so my encouragement practically to tonight is to try to find somebody who would want to study the Bible to get to know God better and to join in on a Bible study already happening. And then the process of learning how to lead Bible studies is really not that complicated. It just takes some commitment to find or join a Bible study first. And nobody would expect you to lead it right away, but to watch somebody else lead the Bible study, and you're just there to learn, to help, to be a friend, to take notes, but you're watching and learning, okay, how do I teach this? What do I teach? What are the scriptures? And then in your own time, you familiarize yourself with those verses, with the questions to ask, with the ideas you're trying to teach from those verses. And then when you're ready, you lead that Bible study, the seeking study with somebody, and have someone more experienced join it with you. And they watch you do it just like you watch them lead it. Afterwards, have some follow-up. Hey, how'd I do? What could I do better next time? And be faithful that, hey, even if you didn't do it perfectly, God's word is powerful and God worked through it anyway. And then with repetition and teaching these things over and over again, you'll become somebody who is mature in teaching God's word. But that's really the basic pattern, is join somebody else leading it, find somebody and let somebody more experienced lead it. Watch and learn. And then when you're ready, you try it and have somebody watch you do it and keep learning from them. So just to give you a few practicals on finding somebody to study the Bible with, this could be a whole class in itself, but I'm just going to be super brief here. I hope that's on your heart that, hey, I'd like to find somebody to study the Bible with. First thing you should do is pray about it. You know, I just had a couple really basic practical things here. Pray and say, care and share, right? This is just keeping it really simple. Pray to find somebody and then say something to somebody and then let God work out the details. Care about people and then share an invite, share your faith, share something. Pray and say, care and share. But just praying, God, put me in the path of somebody who's a seeker. Help me find a Zacchaeus, a Zacchaea, however you would feminize that. But help me to find somebody who's seeking you, God. And then believe God is going to put somebody in your path and just break into conversation with people until you find that Zacchaeus, that person that God has put. Let God work through you. Take the pressure off yourself. Put it on the Spirit. God, you'll lead me to somebody. Let the Spirit help you with what to say instead of feeling all the pressure of, oh, what do I say? And you know, just be faithful that Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people in the city, and that there's somebody in your path somewhere on the train, on campus, in your class. There's somebody somewhere who would want to study the Bible, and you get to have the fun adventure of going with God and looking for them. You know, obviously, we should be building relationships with classmates and, people in our life that we're building friendships with, and then naturally inviting them on Friday nights or telling them about your faith and asking them if they've ever read the Bible and if they'd like to try and, building friendships with people and inviting those people out. And then there's also just planned times of, hey, I'm just going to go out with, pair up with somebody and we're just going to go out and share our faith for a little bit and walk around campus, introduce yourself to people, give them a little invitation or introduction. And if somebody's interested, then it could develop into more of a conversation. But, I like to think of evangelism in terms of like as you go, okay, if I'm on the subway, let me see if I sit by somebody and I could work up a conversation, or somebody next to me in class, or just maybe in between classes while you're walking on campus, you decide, you know, I'm just going to try to invite three people out to our church service, you know, and just not overcomplicating it, but just keeping it simple and just saying, I'm just going to try something. I'm going to pray and say something. I'm going to care and I'm going to share something, and then letting God work out the details. You know, when I do meet somebody, I try to get a feel for what the best first thing would be for them, if it would be inviting them to Bible talk, inviting them to church, maybe if they're not as religious, inviting them to a service event or to come to a fun Friday night thing. If somebody does seem more interested, then I might just jump right to asking if they'd want to just meet up with me and maybe one other person sometime to share each other's stories and to look at the Bible together and get to know each other better. And then when I get that person, I'm like, hey, let me grab your number so I can, you know, set that up with you or whatever. I try to put like today, I met somebody at NYU. So I put NYU before their name so I don't totally lose them in my contacts. So I have a bunch of NYU this person, NYU that person. And sometimes in the notes of the contact, I'll write like what they were interested in. Maybe it was Bible talk or church or meeting up for a study. That way I could kind of remember what it was that they were interested in when I talked to them. And then just having regular time to go back and water those. Like maybe you make that a Friday thing. Like, oh, I'm going to go to those contacts and shoot them a text or whatever it is. And, you know, I think if we're just meeting people and then following up with them, Bible studies are going to come from that. And I know for some of you, it could be really intimidating. Like, well, how do I ask somebody to study the Bible? And I'll just kind of tell you how I typically say it. And this isn't like the way to do it, but just trying to be yourself, not overcomplicate it, but keep it normal, keep it natural. And I usually tell people like, hey, you know, I love church. I love these, you know, we do these big group discussions with a lot of people, but my favorite thing and what's helped me the most is to sit down in a more personal setting and just look at the Bible together. You know, there's some scriptures that really helped me know God better and grow in my faith. And I love to meet with new people, hear their stories, and share those scriptures with other people. What do you think about that? Would you have any interest in meeting up some time and looking at the Bible together? You know, and just kind of explaining it in a way of what it is, a natural way, not using terms like, do you want to do the studies? Like, well, what are the studies? You know, but just trying to be natural and explaining what it is and making it relatable and relational, but also clear that we're going to look at the Bible and it's going to be personal. So when they show up and you're showing them scriptures and asking them questions, they're not like, whoa, 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 I thought we were just hanging out, you know? You know? So I don't know. I hope that helps me just sharing kind of how I ask somebody. But I just try to be friendly and try to be natural and relational and relatable with it. I want to share one last thought and then I'm going to open it up for any questions. But I do think that we need to think a little bit more, and I appreciate Mark talking about this in the announcements, that we need to be thinking a little bit more outward focused at our meetings of the body. And, you know, you have to recognize here that Jesus entered a town and he was thinking outward focused in this public setting. When we come to church, when you come to Friday, we got to be thinking about being on the mission when we're at these things. In John chapter 13, 35, Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so the way we love is what's going to show people that we're really followers of Jesus. And so at our meetings of the body, church service Sunday, Friday, this is a great way for us to show Jesus to people. By being inviting, by being hospitable, by not just kind of, right? Like the religious people in Luke 19, they were like, oh, why is Jesus talking to that guy? They wanted to stay in their own little bubble of religious people. And that's our comfort zone too, is we want to just kind of stay in our own little close disciple friend bubble. But to be like Jesus means you go out of that bubble and you go engage with the person who needs to be engaged with. And so when you're at Friday or Sunday, if you notice a new person, let's not all, you know, bombard them, but in a natural way, if you notice nobody's talking to them or just one person is, maybe you go up and introduce yourself too. Or after somebody's done talking to them, you go up and introduce, like, be care about them. Like, don't just be in your own bubble, your own world, but notice, like, oh, that person's different. They're new. Let me go chat with them, be a friend with them. And when somebody comes to something, it's a good sign they're interested, just like Zacchaeus climbing the tree was. And I would say it'd be great anytime somebody comes to something for them to be asked to study the Bible so they can more personally grow in their walk with God. But it would not be helpful if five or six people asked them to study the Bible. So probably the best practice is whoever brought them should be the one to ask them. Or if you're the one that brought somebody, if you're not sure how to ask them, maybe, sidebar with one of our Bible talk leaders or whatever and say, hey, how would you ask? I brought my friend tonight. How should I ask them to study the Bible? Or could you ask them for me or help me ask them? But like just having that on your heart and on your mind, and we can help each other with this. That's what a great part of being a team is. But I do want to reiterate what Mark said, that thinking about coming to worship God, first of all, but then also coming to be a light and to love others when you come to church on Sunday and Friday night. And a big part of that is being on time. God is blessing us with more people coming to church from Instagram, from Google Maps. And I think more and more people are going to be doing that. And it's not a great look of being like Jesus if they get there and two-thirds of our disciples are not there yet, and so that's kind of what happened this past Sunday. And I know we're all traveling far and there's a lot going on. That's where just that little extra half hour in the morning, leaving a little earlier. And being like, hey, I'm going to go ready to one, worship God, because that's who it's all about. And two, be there to love one another, to love others, and to be a light to the other people coming there. And so I hope that can help us to be more inviting people to church more, and then being inviting and welcoming when they do come. So some goals and challenges I want to put out there for everybody. One is find one Bible study this semester that you can join. Find a Bible study that you can join. And if you want to take it even higher, find one that you can lead. If you want to try to, I think if everybody in our ministry joined a study this semester, that would be awesome. If you wanted to try to even lead your first Bible study this semester, that would be taking it even higher. A second practical challenge I want to give you is to find a way to make seeking seekers a regular part of your week. How can you make seeking people who are seeking God a regular part of your day or of your week? And with that, to make it your habit to water seeds as you plant, that you're thinking about who can I invite Friday night? Who can I invite Sunday? Who can I invite to Bible talk? Who could I try to get a Bible study going with? Do I need to go look for somebody new this week? That becomes kind of your heart habit of something that you do. And then I was going to share this Sunday, but I forgot to. But I just want to share with you all two kind of just dreams and hopes and goals that our leadership team decided to put before God this year. And one of them is that we're asking God to lead us to help 20 new people become disciples this year in our city campus. That we'd like to see basically one man and one woman each month make Jesus Lord and be saved, forgiven of their sin. And so you can join with us in praying for that, but I know God can do that through His Spirit if each part does its work. And so we're hoping to see God add 20 people to His kingdom through us in the city this year. And the other thing is, we're hoping to see our average attendance on Sunday go from about 40 people to over 50 people. And that just would be more glory to God on Sunday morning, that more new people are singing to Him, learning from His word, and fellowshipping with each other. And so if you want to join in praying for those things, that would be great. It's on God, not on us, but we get to just join Him in the work. But this was kind of an introduction. I wanted to give the heart behind the mission, then also some biblical like precedents behind having a Bible study series and the idea of like being like basic teachings, and then God's call for you to learn how to teach those to people and be part of doing that. And as you follow Jesus, in seeking and the saving the lost, I think too that you will grow a lot in your walk with God and get to see Him use you in an incredible way. So I'm gonna wrap it up here as far as my lesson goes, and we can spend the last 15 minutes or so with any questions or response if you guys want to.